Engines 2, 4, and 6, trucks 1 and 8, medics 5 and 8, District Chief 701 Walnut at Yonkers on a structure fire. 701 Walnut at the old Yonkers. Engines 2, 4, and 6, trucks 1 and 8, medics 5 and 8, District Chief, response 3 on 3, 52 minutes.
Okay, DC-1 units responding 701 Wall, the old Yonkers building, getting numerous reports of heavy smoke and fire on the 8th floor. Fire 60 advised it's a grand dry standpipe system only. PD advises flames showing.
Engines 1 and 5, trucks 9 and 10. Be a second alarm on a regular. 701 Walnut, the old Yonkers. Engines 1 and 5, trucks 9 and 10. Second alarm on a structure fire, 701 Walnut. Attention all apparatus, this will be the third alarm. Third alarm on the structure fire, 701 Walnut. Engine 7, engine 9, truck 3. Respond on the third alarm, 701 Walnut at the Yonkers. Be the third alarm.
My name's Kerry Schneider, Captain Des Moines Fire Department. I was in the capacity of acting district chief that day, actually that morning. That morning, the alarm came in, started out as a regular assignment of three engines, two trucks, two medics and myself to the Yonkers building. Upon arrival, let me back up. We had reports of many calls in for reporting a fire, at which time I called for a second alarm, which brings us two extra engines, two extra trucks to the scene. As things progressed, I'll jump a little bit ahead, as things progressed, then end up calling for a third alarm, which is two engines, two more engines, and another truck. But prior to that, during the second alarm, truck one was there on scene first. They're the first arriving unit. I was right behind them. Units know on a high-rise fire with at a high-rise fire to set up on the corners because of collapse. So everyone did, which is a testament to the training on our department and the knowledge, everyone got to their positions. The first arriving engine, which was 4, took up position to go interior to see what they could do, see what the conditions were, clear conditions, and then they were ascending stairwell inside, and I'll let the officer of that rig talk about that. But my duties as district chief is pretty much to coordinate the units that are on scene.
Was on engine 4 that night. We responded on the regular alarm. On arrival, as Captain Snyder stated, we parked on a corner where there's a fire hydrant and the FDC, the fire department connection for the building. While we were working on getting in the building, my engineer hooked up to the hydrant, to the FDC connection. Initially, we encountered a gate that was padlocked. We attempted to bust the lock off with our hand tools. That didn't work. So the next play was to get the bolt cutters and cut the lock. We had to cut both sides of the padlock to get it off. So once we were through that, we came to a walk-in door that had a Knox box that has a key to the building that we can get to. So we had to access that, which took a couple minutes. While we were waiting for the key, I observed, looking into the building, two elevator shafts that were not finished with fire debris and embers raining down to the first floor. Once we got the door open, I had one of the crews, I had Medic 8 and Medic 5 with me. I had one of the crews, which was Medic 8, stretch a 2.5 into the first floor, which is our large diameter attack line, to cover the stuff that was raining down the first floor. Located the stairs fairly quickly. The interesting thing about going back to the building yesterday was the stairs, this amount of space we're talking seems smaller at the time, but looking at it yesterday, it was a lot bigger. We covered a lot more distance than I thought we covered through all this. Found a stairwell that was finished, but was blocked by 2x4s. So we knocked those off, went up to the second floor, encountered more 2x4s, knocked them off. Went across the building to the Walnut side of the building, which again, I didn't realize we covered that much distance. Found another stairwell, and the whole time there was a little bit of smoke on the first floor just from the stuff falling down, but at no point did I feel we needed to put our face pieces on or that I was in heavy smoke. If you wouldn't have seen the outside of the building, you wouldn't have known that the building was on fire being inside of it. So we found the stairwells, took the stairs up to the fourth floor. I had the three firefighters and medics that were with me stay there, and I went on up to the fifth floor. At that point, I heard truck one say the roof has went in, and I heard a series of booms, which as soon as I heard them, I thought the floors were pancaking down. There's some discussion if that's what it was or not. Whatever it was, I knew we needed to get out of the building. At that point, I had the crew drop their equipment, and we just ran out of the building, down the first floor and out. Once we was out, notified command that we were out. And then went to work deploying hose lines around the scene after that.
My name's Carl Nofsker. Last name's N-O-F-T-S-G-E-R. I'm from the West Side, station number 5 off of 42nd Street. Title senior medic of Medic 5. My partner that night was Keith Mackey, sitting directly behind me. We got the first alarm, got the call. Just past the Mercy Hospital on the interstate, we could see the plume of smoke. So you kind of get excited because you know you got something cooking, but you're not sure until we started entering downtown. We parked at 7th and Locust, and we could see, in my opinion, two floors were fully involved, torching out of the windows. Lieutenant Jones pointed at us at that time and told us we were charged with making the initial attack with him, which we're pumped up because that's what we want to do anyway. So after making the entry into the front gate, at that time when they were cutting the locks, I was able to look up with Keith. And my concern at the time was a glowing scaffolding. I was concerned that it was going to come down because that's our entry and our exit. So we got inside, and like Lieutenant said, there really wasn't a lot of smoke on the first floor, but there was a lot of fire load. Fire was coming down the chutes. I mean, you can hear a small roar, and I mentioned it to Keith and him. I didn't know if it was a fire talking to us upstairs, because you stop and listen in fires, and you can hear a lot. We made entry to the second floor. Then we went up to the third floor, and like he said, we had to go clear across the building. It surely didn't seem like we were marching that much, but Keith and I both had a high-rise pack on our shoulder and the high-rise bag, so we were carrying some extra weight with us. And by the time we got up to the fourth floor, I surely knew we went a long ways. And then we heard the ladder company call, made an announcement that if anybody's inside, still to be careful that the floors or something was collapsing. And at that time, we heard the loud booms, and the floors were actually shaking, and we heard the roaring. Before Lieutenant could even talk, we were gone. We were starting to turn around and run. We dropped our packs per his command. And I remember running as fast as I could, and it was like I was hardly moving. In my head, I was going to find a spot to lay down if the floors were collapsing. I had my pack on my face. I had my air hooked up. I was going to curl up in a ball and try and just find a spot to be safe. We made it down to the second floor, and I made a wrong turn. He caught me. I was going to go into the basement. There was a stairwell going down there, and he screamed, and luckily we all came outside. I got across the street, was dry heaving in my mask. Luckily, Lieutenant Morgan was there and helped me get my mask off my face. And it was probably, it seemed like 2 minutes to me. Maybe it was shorter or longer, but then the scaffolding came down. So the scaffolding actually fell once we were out of the building. But the noise and the shakiness and what I heard inside, in my opinion, I'm for sure the floors were coming down, and I thought I was gonna die. That's how scared I was. And then we got outside and everybody was safe. We reconvened and we all talked, Heath and I. And I think we all four really truly thought the same thing. And then I was assigned to the ninth floor of the parking garage afterwards, spraying fire on the fire from above, and then marching some hoses. Like he said, we continued this for about 5-6 hours. We were released, and I went back to Station 5 and backfilled the city. I actually got to go home. I was released from the city at 12 o'clock the next day and finally got in bed about 8 o'clock that night after being awake for about 30 hours. I was just... It was hard to sleep. You wanted to talk about it, hear about it, make sure everybody was okay. And luckily, with the size of the apartment, everybody went home safe that night. No injuries on that big of a fire is sometimes unheard of. So I was happy to be with the crew I was with.
I'm not quite as formal as the other guys because I'm a mixture of old school and new school. I do like to say this, Engine 4 is one of the busiest engines in the state. We're known as a house of pain because we're pretty aggressive firefighting. I have one of the best officers that I could work with in Randy Jones. I'm not gonna rehash everything like they did because we kind of heard it over and over and over again, but when we got to the fire, Randy said that we needed to cut the lock, so we approached the lock, and it was one of the toughest locks I ever tried to cut. I don't know how he felt about it, but and actually worked in our favor because it took a long time to cut that lock. I think if we didn't and was able to cut that lock, get the key, go up there, we'd have been on that floor that collapsed. Like Carl Linder said, I think we all kind of, I mean, Carl Knobster said, we all kind of...
He's retired.
Yeah. Like I said, old school, new school. At that time when we entered the building, Lieutenant Jones and I could hear salamanders, and those are forced heat, and they make like a jet engine sound. And even though we didn't say nothing to one another, just being in the years experience on, you have to look and observe everything. I mean, if there's a rat that runs across the floor, you better see it. Embers coming down out of the shafts, you know, that appeared to be elevator shafts. We took notice of that. But we didn't don our face pieces. You could see clearly. And that's why we felt like we could go up and make the attack, not knowing that there was no standpipes. So you go up to the second floor. I felt like it was a long ways across. And I always measure my distance because I played football and the amount of steps we take, and I thought it was about 30 yards. Come to find out it was more like 40, I think. But going up to that floor and hearing that boom, it was time to go. I thought the lieutenant did an excellent job in saying, let's go, get rid of everything you have. Two guys threw the packs. We hit the floors. I thank God that we all made it out. I also kept up with the young guys all the way down. I thought that was pretty impressive. But to get outside and then look at everyone, and our engineer, I like to mention this, Brandon Hutchison, was almost in tears because he thought he had lost his crew. And I think what's being missed here is we need to sit down and talk about this, because my wife was at home crying that whole time when it came on the news. And I don't want to get too emotional about it, but this is a perfect opportunity for the fire department to go back to some old school, because we used to hash over everything, even little fires, we would talk about it. We brought medics over from 5, brought them down, talked to them. They weren't aware of the salamanders making noise. And when we told them, brought up pictures, showed them what it is, I think Mackie had said, you know, I don't know if you had ever seen them or not, but now he knows. Mm-hmm. And the old school firemen, they took us, in the fires showed us what to look for, what to listen to. And I think that's being lost on this job. You have to do that. It's an absolute must.